At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
The good liars.
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, yeah. I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, God. Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the good liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us. Welcome to The Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeBrom Stiefler, and we are The Good Liars.
And we may be The Good Liars, but on this show, we're going to tell you the truth. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about DeBrom's experience at the NRA convention in Atlanta, Georgia, Donald Trump's plan to reopen The Rock, and much, much more. But before we get going, we want to remind you, you can subscribe to us on Substack. We are The Good Liars on Substack. We're going to have exclusive videos and content on there, so make sure you do that. But before we dive into stuff, DeBrom, how are you doing today?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah. The Denver Nuggets with a big victory.
The Nuggies.
Game one of round two of the NBA playoffs. It was awesome.
Awesome. Hey, the Knicks had a big win, too.
They were spinning and winning. Winning to the cup.
Yeah, to quote Walt Clyde Frazier
right
there. All right, but first we're going to talk about Donald Trump's interview this past weekend. Donald Trump sat down with NBC's Meet the Press in an interview that aired on Sunday, and in it, he discussed a wide range of topics, including the Constitution. And the biggest takeaway from the interview is that Donald Trump doesn't understand what the job of president is.
Secretary of State says everyone who's here, citizens and non-citizens, deserve due process. Do you agree? Mr. President?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know.
Don't you need to uphold the Constitution of the United States as president?
I don't know. I have to respond by saying again.
President Trump, we want to say it's okay if you don't know something. We pulled up a clip that hopefully will help you know.
Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Okay, President Trump, we hope that helps. I think he's saying he needs to protect and preserve the Constitution, but maybe there was other stuff in there that we missed. I don't know. It's a long oath that he has to do. It's
right,
at least
right.
20 seconds long. So,
right. I also wanted to bring up an issue. He said at the end, so help me God. Is that like kind of an or? Like, and if I don't?
So help me God.
Right. So maybe that's his backup plan. Maybe he's just like, God's going to help me. If I don't uphold the Constitution,
right.
So help me God.
It said I had to do all these things, or so help
or
me
so
God.
Help me God.
So I'm thinking God's
going
to help me here, and it's going to be totally fine.
It could be his out.
So do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing that Donald Trump doesn't understand the oath of office that he swore to?
Let me play devil's advocate.
Okay,
here.
Good. Thank you.
Now, so a lot of people voted for Donald Trump because he's a political outsider.
Yeah.
You know, he's only been president once before.
Right. Kind of a novice.
Not super adept at the world of politics.
A businessman.
So, you know, it would almost be weird if he did know, if he did understand.
He did understand
it.
The oath of office.
He would start to think, what is this guy, some sort of politician?
Right.
So I think it's in keeping with his kind of brand as a political outsider. So I liked it. I thought it was refreshing.
Yes. You don't have to take like an oath when you own a business, you know, except for to profits, I guess, maybe. I don't know. I'm not a businessman.
Right.
I'm not a politician
either.
Know?
So if you went into business, you know,
I would take the oath.
Yeah.
I would take the oath that I would have to do.
You might not understand it, though. You might not understand what you were saying.
A lot of people are talking about this because they're saying, he's saying, I don't know. And he doesn't know if he has to follow the Constitution. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think, all jokes aside, DeBrom?
Yeah.
It's fun to joke around. We always have such a good time. But do you think this is a real problem? Or do you think he's just like, I'm going to find a way around this?
I think he is somehow he has found this way where he's constantly able to kind of insinuate these very serious things. Like, I don't think I care about the Constitution that much, or I don't know if I want to uphold it. And people who defend him and support him will say, it's just a figure of speech. He's not going to be told what to do or whatever. They will find some way to say that he wasn't actually saying he won't uphold the Constitution. And this is just classic Trump. He's not going to be bullied and told what to do. And he wants to get a rise out of people. To me, all jokes aside,
okay,
a little shocking for the president not to think that's a gimme.
That's
a slam
dunk
answer there.
So also in this interview, this is a moment that a lot of people talked about, was he was asked about the economy and how the economy is doing and who's responsible for the economy. So take a look at this.
When does it become the Trump economy?
It partially is right now, and I really mean this. I think the good parts are the Trump economy and the bad parts are the Biden economy, because he's done a terrible job. He did a terrible job on everything, from his auto pen, which I'm sure he knew nothing about some of the things he was supposedly signing.
But, sir, you acknowledge when you announced your tariffs, for example, the stock market dropped. It's been volatile. It has gone up.
It is.
Do you take responsibility for that? Yeah. Do you take responsibility when it drops?
Ultimately, I take responsibility for everything.
Except for all the stuff I don't take responsibility for.
Except for the stuff that I'm specifically saying I will not take responsibility for. Now, this you would think he would understand more, the economics of the whole thing.
Because he's a businessman.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the way you're a numbers guy.
I'm a numbers guy.
It doesn't necessarily translate to math, but you're a numbers guy.
Right. Yes.
You would think he would understand this a little bit more, and that his... obviously, his policies have affected the economy. But he clarified that there's some good stuff.
I think it's weird to say this out loud, because he's kind of insinuated this for a long time.
Right.
Like, oh, that's Biden's fault. This is good. So that's me.
Right.
But then he just says it. He's like, if things are good, it was me.
It was me.
If things are bad, it was Biden. Why is this so
hard for you to understand? It's what we've been insinuating the whole time. But now I'm just going to say it. I'll say the quiet part loud.
So I want you to do me a favor right now, DeBrum. I want you to try and embody Donald Trump. You don't have to do an impression. You don't have to do anything like that if you don't want to. If you want to, I'm going to encourage you to do it.
I'll do whatever I want.
I'm going to ask you a couple questions.
Sure.
And I want you to tell me if it was your, Donald Trump's fault, or Joe Biden's fault. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right. So the stock market crashing after you announced tariffs, was that your fault or Joe Biden's fault?
Joe Biden's fault. He does everything bad.
And can you clarify why that's his fault?
These are policies set up by Joe Biden that happened to be coming to fruition during my...
You're doing an impression of my father.
Is that what it is? it is what it's happening.
Okay.
Isn't it? As a result,
I can't do this. It's too weird for me.
All right.
So that's Joe Biden's fault. Your tariffs were Joe Biden's fault.
I feel backed into a corner there. The instability in the economy is a result of Joe Biden's policies that are carrying over.
Yeah. Okay. The Philadelphia Eagles winning the Super Bowl. Whose fault is that?
That's Joe Biden's fault.
Okay.
I know some of them wouldn't come to the White House previously, and so he pulled the strings, or his auto pen.
His auto pen. Okay,
The strings.
Jason Selvig, I cut my finger. I have a nasty cut on my finger. Is that Biden's fault or your fault?
It's my fault. You're a liberal, as far as I can tell, and I wanted your finger to be injured.
Well, speaking of liberals, Canada's Liberal Party was basically running against you, and they won the last election. How do you feel about that? Was that Joe Biden's fault or your fault?
Joe Biden's fault. A lot of people are going to say that was because of all my anti-Canada rhetoric and the wanting them to become the 51st state.
Oh, that was very well put. Yes, but it was not.
But it was not.
Okay. All right. Great. Care to elaborate? No? Okay.
I'm worried I'm going to do the wrong impression if I jump into it.
Okay. Last one. John Cena defeating Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania 41 to win the Undisputed Championship. Whose fault is that?
This whole thing was an abomination.
Okay.
I should be crowned
the
champion, as I should be Pope. And that was all Joe Biden's fault.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You can take the hat off. You can take
I wasn't really doing it.
I don't know what the impression was.
If I jumped into it, I was scared I was going to be your dad.
Okay. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Okay. So on Monday, Trump hosted NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell at the White House, and he had some big, big news. This is huge, earth-shattering news.
Holy moly.
The NFL draft will be held at the National Mall. Can you believe it?
Yes.
Yes. And on the same day, ESPN reported that the White House seeks to cut funding for brain injury research. Do you see those two things as connected in any way?
Biden.
We're not doing the game anymore. Oh, the game's over. Okay. The game's over.
That's just, wow, this little small world moment there.
Just a random thing?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Do you actually think they were connected, or do you think that this was just funding that was going to be cut?
Well, I think the reporting just happened that they were researching what the cuts, planned cuts are, and this just happened to be part of it. But I did think it was interesting.
You know Stone Cold's thoughts on CTE?
I know.
You know that, despite maybe you're a fan, you're a big fan.
I'm a big fan of Stone Cold.
He does not believe in CTE.
I know.
Doesn't believe it.
I don't believe in CTE. I think you get your bell rung and that's it, and that's the bottom line, and you ain't going to tell me one thing about it, and that's all I got to say about that.
Right.
Was that okay? Felt okay coming out.
It was pretty good. But how do you feel about this super scientific approach to CTE?
I feel like you're bringing up a topic that's not in the outline now, and I'm forced to think on my feet about this. Of course, I disagree with Stone Cold Steve Austin. In this one instance,
you can roll forgive the tape on that. You can clip that out, everybody. Jason disagrees with Stone Cold Steve Austin. A rift is forming here, probably the basis of what will become a future all-out feud.
Oh, wow. I would love to have a feud with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now my neck just started hurting from thinking about getting kicked from Paul Walter Hauser. Yeah. Ouch. I should really be wearing the neck brace. My doctor said.
I know. Well, there's like 2 weeks there where you're...
It was flopping here and there. Yeah. Okay. So the other thing that happened at this press conference, which was very, very important, was Trump talked about The Rock. Welcome to The Rock. Mm-hmm. That's my Sean Connery impression.
To The Rock.
He has a plan to...
Welcome to The Rock.
I'm sorry, Dad and Mom. My mom listens to the podcast, so she's definitely going to hear this to Rob.
It's a good impression.
I'm not going to comment on the impression. Now you're throwing me under the bus even more here. Okay, so Trump was asked about this, reopening Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Famous, famous prison. And here were his comments on it.
Alcatraz, how will you use it? How did you come up with the idea?
Well, I guess I was supposed to be a movie maker. We started with the movie making, and we'll end. I mean, it represents something very strong, very powerful in terms of law and order. Our country needs law and order. Alcatraz is, I would say, the ultimate, right? Alcatraz, Sing Sing and Alcatraz, the movies. But it sort of represents something that's both horrible and beautiful and strong and miserable, weak.
It's horrible, it's beautiful, it's strong, it's weak, it's good, it's bad, it's happy, it's sad. And I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about right now. And all these people here, there's cameras here, and I don't even know what's happening, but I'm president, folks. Can you believe it? I'm the president of the United States. I'm the president, folks. It's amazing. It's really an incredible thing.
You really should have been a movie maker.
Could have been a movie maker.
Your sense of drama.
That was fucking crazy. Because he looks over at Roger Goodell like, you know what I'm fucking talking about. This guy knows what I'm fucking talking about. Roger Goodell's like,
terrible and beautiful. He also fancies himself a little bit of a poet, I think, in that moment. It was terrible and beautiful, both weak and strong.
Dichotomy of life.
Yeah. So life is riding a razor's edge, close to death. Am I right, Roger Goodell? I don't know.
I don't even know.
I don't even fucking know.
So, like, this is fucking crazy.
This is wild. But I say if he has to bring back Alcatraz, and first of all, do you think is it going to happen?
Well, I would love for it to happen, and I would love to go there, not as a prisoner, but just go there and visit. And then if you came over a boat,
now.
If you came over to on a boat and you got there, I would say, welcome to The Rock.
Okay, so for you personally,
yeah, I just wanted to get that in
a pretty cool moment.
Cool moment, yeah.
It's beyond wild. I mean, you just couldn't predict moments like this. How can you watch that and think that he's really genuinely thinking about what's good for the country? Like, he can't answer the question about the Constitution, maybe because he's ruminating on this Alcatraz thing.
Right,
what types of things does he really care about? It's certainly not the Constitution. He's not sure about that.
Not sure about that.
He knows that Alcatraz needs to come back. I think he should be bringing back other things.
Okay,
like from Blockbuster. The
past. Blockbuster, okay.
Redbox.
Redbox? I think Redbox still exists. I think that we see that one on
bring
the road.
It back.
Smaller. Okay. Yeah. Want to bring that back as well? Anything else? That's tough, yeah.
Orange that. Julius?
I don't know what
that
is.
Still Orange Julii?
I don't know what that is.
The malls? Really?
Yeah.
You never went to a mall with an Orange Julius? I just feel like I don't see him anymore.
We just went to a mall in Detroit. It was a very sad mall.
Very quiet mall.
I've done the Welcome to the Rock. I've said that a couple times already. Did you ever watch the movie The Rock?
Yeah.
Yeah?
They had the little
green things.
Green balls that were filled with...
F something, 9-5 something? I don't know.
Very Kurt Vonnegut.
It's funny that we brought up my parents here. You were brought up my parents, basically. You brought my family into this. But when I was...
That is funny.
When we were watching The Rock, like we rented it, and like I think I was not super young. Like it was okay for me to be watching this movie at that point. There was a scene in it where Nick Cage is like having sex with, I believe, Sean Connery's daughter in the kayfabe daughter in the movie.
Making love.
Sorry about that. And my parents fast forwarded through that scene because it was like inappropriate,
right.
Which, you know, you can understand it's a sex scene. Maybe it's a little odd. You're watching with your child.
Right.
But then also in the movie, he shoves a green, like, chemical weapon down somebody's throat,
right.
And they like disintegrate, and it's like the most.
They rewatched
thing.
That part,
and they rewound it. Watched that
four
just
times.
To make it the same running time.
Right,
yeah, we
right.
watched it at the same time. But I wonder if he was probably watching Escape from Alcatraz on Turner Classic Movies or something, and was thinking, we gotta put back Alcatraz. This is great.
You think he watches Turner Classic Movies? I think that's fair.
I think he would.
I actually think that's fair.
I don't think he watches DVDs.
No, he watches
TV and he's like, I'll see what's on and flip through the channels. And he's got a couple channels.
If he had a DVD, though, what would it be?
A DVD?
Yeah. The Rock?
The Rock, probably, yeah, of course.
I think these are the types of things that he thinks about. He thinks about... you know, these high impact weird ideas, or maybe it's just Stephen Miller being like, what if we fucking brought back Alcatraz?
That would be so cool. Ugh, he's so weird. I don't know. I mean, it's a weird, stupid distraction. Just think about all this stuff. It's like, we're not talking about Mike Waltz anymore going to the UN, basically getting fired because he's saying some bullshit about Alcatraz. We're not talking about SignalGate anymore.
We're totally not even talking about Blockbuster anymore. We're not even talking about Redbox or Orange Julius. It's all about Alcatraz.
That's true. That's a great segue, DeVrom.
Yeah.
To the NRA convention. We have a lot of history at the NRA convention. I attended that speech to Wayne LaPierre about thoughts and prayers. We both were there in 2023. Talked to a lot of... We were not there in 2024. Yes, we took a year off, but that's not how we should be doing things. We shouldn't be slacking on the NRA convention. So you flew down to Atlanta, Georgia from Washington, D.C. You were there on the Sunday, the final day of it. Do you want to just say briefly how your experience was?
Does it have to be brief?
It doesn't have to be brief. I want you to share some videos. I want you to tell us some, but just what was it like there?
I will say I showed up. It was hot. It was sunny and just about the lowest energy convention you could have ever imagined.
Okay.
Almost nobody coming in and out. I'd imagine the other days were a little bit bigger, but this was a sleepy final day of the convention. That's not to say I wasn't able to talk to a couple of interesting people.
Okay.
And I tried to talk a little bit about, you know, the NRA, about guns in America, but also kind of get into some of the issues of the day.
Yes. Yes.
And I'll pull up a video here. Now, this guy I genuinely got along with really well.
It's great.
He talked a little bit about his living situation here.
Okay.
Undocumented roommates living with me. And they're the most special people I've ever had. They're my friends. They're my family. One of them's been with me for over 20 years.
So would you be okay with them being taken away by ICE in the middle of the night?
I would sponsor them.
So
every one of them.
There are thousands of people being taken away that are just like the people you're describing. Is that a problem for you?
No, because if they found the right people to help them, like I said, I would sponsor the people that live in my house, unquestionably.
But other people don't have that. You see what I mean?
I can't be responsible for the whole world. I can only be responsible for what's in my own domain.
But
I feel sorry for them, but why should the ones that I have suffer because they've been living with me for so long and they have been working to get their legal papers to stay?
But when you're talking about that, it just makes me think of all the other people who've been working, who've been paying taxes, and who are being shipped out, separated from their families in the middle of the night.
So far, the only people that have been shipped out are the criminals and so on and so forth. I know there's other people that have been...
In the last couple of days, there's three children, like a 2-year-old and I think a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old, that are U.S. citizens born on U.S. soil. Does that cause a problem?
So that doesn't bother him there.
No,
that's an interesting interview, just because it's like a lot of people we talk to about like LGBTQ plus stuff. People will hear a lot of like transphobic stuff, and then occasionally we'll talk to somebody who's like, oh, you know what? Actually, my coworker is trans, and that's totally fine. You know, that's their life choice, and
nevertheless, voting for policies that.
Right.
But
also being like, I disagree with Donald Trump on this. I disagree with whoever's doing the anti-trans
stuff. Kind of, but for him, it was even more like, I agree with Donald Trump on this. But I would try and protect the people that are important to me.
Right.
And he was an interesting guy. He had like parents that were, I think, professors at Berkeley. And then he lives on an island off of Washington State, like 5 miles from the Canadian border.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's probably the most beautiful place. And he's used to, I think, being able to have control over his life and his, as he put it, his domain. He's like in a very small place where things are kind of very predictable. He couldn't imagine the people he cared for being taken away. So I guess it just was hard to conceive of him not being able to like have a broader view of the whole thing and think, oh, there are other people who people care about who are not going to have the resources, say, to sponsor them.
Right. But how would that even work? I'm just thinking about this. Like, you're seeing what happens like with the Columbia protester. Like, they were just like taken, and within hours they were in Louisiana. Like, he's not going to be able to like stop this. Wow,
right,
it's
the
happening.
Idea
like,
that
I don't know what.
Well,
first
of all, he said no one's going to be able to come into my house without a warrant. I explained that Donald Trump had given the okay to ICE. I don't know that that's happening on a broad scale, but they've been ordered that they are allowed to enter homes without warrants now, and I hope that does not start happening. But he said, "Oh, that wouldn't happen to me." So I guess he just can't imagine it piercing his like bubble of safety.
But he agrees with it.
But
in
the
end,
he agrees with it. At the end of the day, he's like, "Oh." You know, the conversation went on longer, and he said, you know, they understand that they're breaking the law, and that if there wasn't anything I could do, they would understand that. I don't think he really thinks it'll happen, so he's able to say that.
Right, right. Well,
but
kind of
sponsoring
sad.
Someone, you're right, they would be gone before he could sponsor them.
Right.
I think sponsoring someone involves proving that they work for you, basically, that you can afford to employ them, and that they wouldn't become any kind of a burden to the
and when
state
the,
of the country. And
a president is saying... that he doesn't know if he has to follow the Constitution
right.
and give due
Why
process.
Would any of that
so, yeah, yeah. So, and I guess he didn't say
applicable.
That was the week before, so he wouldn't have had that little tidbit to pull
right.
out that Donald Trump says he doesn't know if he has to follow due process.
But he's kind of
he's always kind of been
before.
Tiptoeing around
Maybe
that.
He's been able to find yeah. his way around the Constitution a few times.
I can't imagine
before.
Him tiptoeing. Donald Trump tiptoeing. He's just clomping about wherever
he goes. You don't
think
he tiptoes anywhere, huh?
I don't think he tiptoes.
Yeah.
Because I don't think in his personality, I don't think he's ever like, I should be quiet because I don't want to disturb anybody.
Right.
He's like, I'm coming in. I don't give a fuck about anything.
I don't give a fuck about you if you're napping or what you're doing.
Oh, it's my baby. I don't care.
I don't care. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
So what else happened there? What else happened there?
You know, talk to a lot of people about, you know, the issues of guns in America. Over 500 million guns. People were saying, you know,
we're number one, right?
Yeah, we're
USA
number
one.
USA, et cetera.
Yeah.
But the point I think that everyone there seems to want to make is that if more responsible citizens had guns, we wouldn't have mass shootings. Then you can talk about, you know, what's the limit? When do we have enough guns in this country to be safe?
A billion. Yeah. Halfway there.
Very few people are able to put a solid number on it there. But I think a billion is fair.
Yeah.
Billion's fair. But anyway, I talked to someone else about, like I said, I tried to talk about guns. I tried to talk about also what was going on in the country. And this guy wanted to talk finances a little bit.
Oh, cool.
3 months, Donald Trump's presidency, you feel the country is on the right track. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
How would you describe your financial situation in the last 3 months?
Yeah, it's been a little up and down, but some of it's been fear in the market, and that's another interesting question. Because
what do you think is causing the fear in the market?
The guys in New York City on Wall Street.
You think it's Wall Street? It's not Donald Trump and the tariffs?
Well, tariffs cause a little of it, but you know what?
It needed to,
it was overblown. It needed to calm down. It's calming down. The tariffs are working.
If you're 50 years old and have a 401k, you've lost about $74,000 in the past 3 months. Does that feel like it's working?
No, I've lost more than that.
What do you think about that?
Well, it sounded like he lost a fair amount of money because of these Trump tariffs, but he still supports the policy and thinks that you need to crack a few eggs to make an omelet.
And even if he's one of the eggs.
Even if you're one of the eggs and you become an omelet, scrambled up. And you lose all your money.
For breakfast.
It's more like you crack a few eggs to make an omelet and you throw the omelet in the garbage can.
Yeah.
So in years past, we like went inside to the exhibits. Did you see any of the cool guns inside?
Yeah. So we went in to the convention hall and I just said, can I have a free pass? And they said, sure.
That's all it took?
Yeah. Because it was only a couple hours spending. So we went in, we saw all these guns. And you can really understand why people feel that this is part of their personality. It's like any other hobby. It looks fun. There's cool gear associated with it. There was one booth that had goggles with like a really high quality camera.
Mm.
So people were doing these courses where they're like shooting at targets and, you know, rolling and, you know, pretending that they're very cool.
Yeah, it sounds very cool.
And it looked like, you know, this almost like video game, first-person shooter game kind of thing. But just like nice people being like, you want to try out the goggles?
Right.
And everyone talking about their youth shooting clubs.
Oh, cool.
And so you really understand why people feel like this is their right and that it's, if handled properly, it's not a threat. It's like an American pastime almost. The downsides are neglected, I would say there.
Okay. Yeah. So they're not focusing as much on the violence.
The horrific violence that seems to be plaguing our streets and our schools and is only getting worse.
The thing that's funny to me about the NRA convention is like, there's just like a lot's built up about it and rightfully so because of what the organization does. But the actual convention, it's just like any other convention where there's just a bunch of people at booths like, hey, you want to come talk to me, please? I got some free swag. Right. Come here.
Nobody
you want a free
thinks,
t-shirt?
When they were talking guns, nobody thinks about the bullets. Come talk to me about my bullets. It was just like that. Balloons around, little interactive
And you met Eagle Eye Tony. What's his name? Tony the Eagle? It must be Tony
Eddie
the Eagle.
Or something?
Eddie? There isn't some pun with a gun? Gunny?
Gunner the Eagle. Yeah. No, I think he's Eddie. I was like, what's your name? And he was like, oh no, we're not gonna be able to communicate. And someone screamed over, it's Eddie.
Oh, nice. So you met Eddie the Eagle.
He gave me a hug. I gave him the finger guns without realizing it. So we had a whole thing. We had a moment.
Now, do you feel more or less patriotic? You feel like you left there and you don't have as much patriotism. You don't have as much Second Amendment right in you right now, or do you still feel just like stuffed with Second Amendment patriotism right now?
I
know that's a tough question.
That is really tough. I'm almost unsure what you mean by that.
I think it's pretty obvious what I mean.
I feel like you can be a patriot and not love guns. Is that fair?
Nope.
Snore.
Nope. Loser. Loser. All right, DeVrom. Well, that does it for this episode of The Good Liars Tell the Truth. Reminder, subscribe to us on Substack. We're going to have all sorts of fun stuff there, exclusive content, videos, and the like. DeVrom, before we get out of here, do you have any words of wisdom that I don't think you prepared? I'm looking at your eyes and I can read your poker face. You didn't prepare anything, but let's see you make something up. This will be fun. Any words of wisdom, DeVrom?
You know, something that I've learned, it's taken years, years and years and years to learn. If it's raining outside, take the extra effort. Put on your rain boots.
Right.
Don't just put on your sneakers and think, oh, it's fine. You have the rain boots. You spent money on the rain boots. Wear them and enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Yes.
As far as obtaining rain boots. You didn't just buy them so that they are never, ever used.
Right.
I've made that mistake a million times. Today, I wore waterproof boots.
That was amazing, Darone. Thank you for those words of wisdom. I'd like to describe them if I could.
Well, we could skip that.
I think they were horrible and beautiful and strong
weird
and weak.
And weak at the same time.
Happy and sad.
A little bit of a penchant for poetry.
And I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. All right, that does it for The Good Liars Tell the Truth. We will see you next time. Strong words from Jason Selvig and The Good Liars. A little editorializing there at the end.
Strong words? Yeah. Wow, strong words from myself here.